It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Tay.
I'm Sid.
I couldn't say retrospective that time. Cool. This is season 5, episode 23.
Are we doing it this time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Hello.
Hi. My voice is a little scuffed as I went to a concert two days ago, and I'm still recovering. Actually, that's going to be my nostalgia thing.
I was going to say, why don't you talk about that?
Because I'm going to. You're absolutely right.
Kind of on brand, on
it's
theme.
Incredibly on brand. What are you nostalgic for this week?
Well, I'm nostalgic for overhead projectors. And I was thinking about this because at the time, this technology seemed so advanced to me when I was in school. And, you know, just mirrors are cool, mirrors and lights, that's all they are.
Yeah.
And anytime that you got to write on them and then it just got projected onto the screen, it felt like a big
deal.
Oh,
you mean the, like, not the virtual, like the big machine that was
correct.
Just like light and glass with the clear sheets. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Not the one that are hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah. They had a name. What was the name of that actual thing?
I thought they were just overhead.
I don't think it's called overhead projector because that's not what I thought of when you said overhead projector.
Because the screens would be like overhead sheets.
Really?
That's what I remember them calling that.
I'm going to Google. But keep talking. I'm listening.
I mean, now that technology isn't necessarily needed anymore, I can see when they went overhead projectors being the other way because they're literally above your head.
Yeah.
Projectors. But I thought they were just projector sheets, like the clear sheets that you would write on.
For sure.
Hmm.
I'm Googling. Anyway. I'm listening. But I love these things. You're absolutely right to be nostalgic for them.
Yeah, it's just, it's funny now.
Overhead projector model.
Check that out. I'm right.
Overhead makes me think of something different.
Like over your head.
Yeah, like hanging from the ceiling overhead.
But yeah, they were the overhead projectors.
Wow.
So these things got carted to the front of the room.
Yes.
And the teacher would be up front and writing on the special markers. Yeah. And, it's so funny now because I said this at the beginning. I thought that they were so cool.
They are.
They really are when you think about it. They are still really cool. It is lights and mirrors working in a way with technology that is just awesome.
I loved writing on those things.
Yeah. And now they have all of the smart boards that
can
be a hit or miss.
Did you have smart boards when you were in school?
The tail end of me being in school.
Okay.
I had the fun, just full 360 of everything where it was really old. I started with chalkboards and then whiteboards and then
whiteboards
went to overheads.
Crazy. Oh my God. When we got whiteboards from chalkboards, I was like, this is the future, guys. My hand's not covered in chalk with your hand. Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, again, thought it was really cool. I loved the chances that you got to write on the overhead because then it was a little intimidating. Same with whiteboards because it was like everybody gets to see your handwriting
that
can be great or terrible. And yeah, like doing math problems on there in front of everybody. But now that they have all the smart boards and the other type of projectors that Tay was even thinking about, like it was just a different time when those got introduced and then like having to adapt to that. But there's something very nostalgic about the overhead projectors. They're very cool. I miss it. I never need it.
instance in which you would need one as an adult now. But I agree with you. Those things are so cool. And I remember like being a kid and wanting to, especially math, because I was like very good at math as a kid. I would love getting called up to the projector to write stuff and like put little, you know, make little shadow puppets and stuff because it's just your hand.
Yes.
So cool. So cool.
Lights and mirrors.
Lights and mirrors. And it was so big.
Yes. The base was so big. The thing up top was very small.
And then the further you got from it, the bigger it got.
Yes.
Yeah. Those things are sick. You're absolutely right. They're so cool. I remember when only one of my teachers had a smart board. Most of my teachers had whiteboards, but my math teacher had a smart board. And it was like a really big deal when we got them. They were smart boards were crazy. Like that's also like, I really don't know how those things work at all.
No.
I imagine it's computers kind of, but like you did have to turn it on, right?
Yeah, it's basically, it was like you turned it on and it's like a touchscreen that is just larger, but it acts like a whiteboard. Yeah, it looks like mixed paper. With, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, but it is like a just a very large tablet.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
half of the time it was weird because it wouldn't work well or like some things would be going wrong. And so it's like, this is the future.
It'd be delayed or glitched.
Yeah. And then like every room started to have them implemented almost like by the time some classes just opted to not have them, which I thought was fun.
Yeah, I think whiteboards are pretty standard now.
Yeah. That's but they're so still they're still overhead projectors.
That's awesome. Wow. What made you think of that? That's crazy.
I really don't know. I was thinking whenever I think of nostalgia things, I do like to think of what was going on just in class when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And there are really specific instances with like tech in particular, because it did change so fast from when we started school to when we ended school.
1,000%.
That I don't know. I was thinking about like the TVs that were wheeled in, and then I was like, well, that's different. But then I was like, but other things are wheeled in, like the overhead projectors.
Other things are wheeled
in. So yeah, I don't know. I just thought about it.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. That was a great one.
Thanks. What are you nostalgic for?
Fall Out Boy.
Yes, of course.
Every week I come in not sure about my nostalgia, and then I figure something out at the last minute. But this one is actually really great because I haven't seen Fall Out Boy since 2018. I haven't seen them live since 2018, and they've done other stuff, and they were here in Chicago. But on Tuesday, as we're recording this, 2 days ago, me and my best friend went up to Milwaukee to see them perform because one of her favorite bands was opening for them, and I wanted to see Fall Out Boy, and Milwaukee's not terribly far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made it, we made the little trek up there, and it was so fun, and I forgot how much I really, really love Fall Out Boy and their music, and it's just nice. I was, not to be like, weirdly emotional, but Fall Out Boy was attached to a friendship that I had that ended for a really long time. And I sort of, I think when that friendship ended, like didn't really spend a lot of time continuing to listen to their music because I was like worried about, or even like going to see them live because they were here last summer. And I was like, I don't know. I don't really want to go to like a stadium show by myself, and just feeling very weird about that. And so when this opportunity to like go to Milwaukee presented itself, I was like, okay, yeah. I sort of didn't even really think about specifically Fall Out Boy until we were on the way, like driving up and started listening to the set list. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited actually. I'm like really pumped, and I can't wait to like hear all these songs live again. And they just put on such a great show, and they have like a they call it Magic 8 Ball section of the show where they just like play a random song, so sort of like the secret set for Taylor Swift. And they played a song from Foliada called Pavlov that is wonderful, and everyone freaked out, and I didn't even realize because I haven't been following the tour that that was a thing that they did, and that wasn't like normal to be on the set list. And so it was very exciting to hear it played, and I love them, and it was so fun, and I just really love that I sort of like got that back, because I started listening to Fall Out Boy in the middle of their hiatus, so I just assumed they were never coming back. I was like, well, this sucks for me, but best of luck. And then when they came back in 2013, I was like, this is the best. And so yeah, and we had a great time, had some drinks, made friends with a bartender, shout out to Rick, you took such good care of us. And yeah, it was so fun. It was really, really fun. And we were sitting next to this couple who were also Hot Mulligan fans, which is the band that Denna went to go see. And so she got to feel like really comfortable rocking out to them because they were also like with us and cheering and jumping and stuff. So it was really fun. It was fun. I love Fall Out Boy, and I love live music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One, it's cool to see a band that, you know, you've been a fan of for a really long time, or just anybody that you've been a fan of for a really long time. Cause like concerts, I know people that don't like concerts, and I'm like, I get it, because they can be a lot, especially with larger ones. But at the same time, I'm like, but have you ever love someone so much or like music so much and listen to music and you're like, man, I really wish that I could see that live, because being in a whole stadium with just people that are so excited for the same thing that you are is one of the coolest experiences.
Yeah, there's something about specifically collective joy that is like so unmatched, and I've only ever really experienced it in that way like one other time. And it's just so, like, on that scale, right? Because it feels like there are lots of things where you can be in a big group and like you're all here for the same thing. But like on the scale of something like Taylor Swift, it's very rare. And I feel like there's not a lot of other ways to experience stuff like that besides live music. It's just like really delightful. I loved it. I had a really lovely time. And I it feels like I sort of got them back in a way, which is nice for me.
I love that.
So yeah, anyway, do you want to get into it?
Yeah. This one had a weird tie-in with my own personal life.
it's interesante.
Season 5, episode 23 is titled Things Change. The episode aired on May 8th, 1998. It was directed by Alan Meyerson and was written by Bob Tischler and Matthew Nelson. And the synopsis is, friends' college acceptance letters shatter Corey's plans for the future. Which is right.
Yeah. I mean, it's about as dramatic as Corey makes it.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Okay. First scene, we are at Chubby's. The core four are in a booth at Chubby's, and Corey reveals that he has all of their letters from Pembroke. Topanga snatches them from him and says, "You robbed our mailboxes." Angela adds, "That is a federal offense." Sean finishes, "I am so proud of you." They take turns opening their letters. Topanga says she's in, and they all celebrate as Sean takes a picture of her. Angela opens her letter and says, "Oh, well, I guess not everybody can get in." Everyone is somber for a moment until she finishes, "But I did." They clap and cheer. Sean takes a photo of her. Corey then opens his letter and says, I'm in. Those idiots let me in." Sean takes a photo of him. And then Corey says, wait. We got one more to go. And let's not lie. This is a toughie. Sean, no matter what happens, I love you." Sean opens his letter and says, "Waitlist." Topanga and Angela clap for him excitedly. And he takes a photo of himself. But Corey goes, "What?" And Sean says happily, "I'm on the waitlist. So if they don't get filled up with all the other people they've already accepted, I get in." Corey says, "But the plan was for all of us to go to school together." Sean's like, "What's the big deal? We're always going to be friends." Corey goes, No. Everyone says that. And then they graduate from high school and they never see each other again. Sean asks, "Could that happen?" Corey just replies, "I'm getting you into Pembroke." We get a flip transition to school. Corey is walking and talking to a kid, trying to convince him not to go to Pembroke and instead go to New Jersey Turnpike Community College. The kid's like, "Everyone in my family went to Pembroke." Topanga then walks by and Corey calls out to her, "In your opinion, which school is better, Turnpike or Pembroke?" She says, "Any school is better than Pembroke. Pembroke's yucky." Corey asks, "What do you know about the Pike?" She says, "I would never go there." He asks, "Why not?" And she says, "Well, I hear they have a promiscuity problem." The kid perks up, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, Pike girls are way too easy. They never want a commitment. You go from girl to girl every day." Corey whispers to the kid, "You know, talk about shallow." Kid says, "You know, I didn't know any of this. I gotta go think." He walks away and Topanga says, "I can't believe I'm helping you do this. I feel dirty." Corey's like, No, you're not helping me, Topanga. You're helping Sean." She asks, "Do you really think you can kick people out of Pembroke to make room for him? Do you know how crazy you are?" Corey sees another kid and calls out, "Barry, bud, did you think about what we talked about?" Barry says, "Oh, think about it, man. I am doing it. I am turning down Pembroke and going to Tahiti for 6 years." 6 years is such a long time. That's longer than college.
It's longer than school.
Why would you go for 6 years? Topanga says, "Barry, Pembroke gave you a full scholarship." He kind of laughs. "Yeah, when I told my dad, he took a swing at me." He walks away and Topanga says, kind of horrified, "Corey, I know you want us to be together, but if it's meant to happen, it will." He says, "Oh, it's meant to happen, Topanga. And if it's not meant to happen, I'll make it meant to happen." He sees another kid pass and calls, "Craig, have you heard about today's army?" And follows him. Topanga watches him go. And that's the end of the scene. The army is specifically so malicious.
That's what I said. Pushing the army on the kids. I hate that.
Hate that.
The most. And I hate him for doing that. What a fun opening. The college acceptance period is frightening and fun. And I just related to that just when they were all opening them together.
Yeah.
I do think Topanga getting into college, of course. Angela having the fun way of saying that she got in, loved it. I figured that Corey would get in. And I knew that Sean, it was going to be the big, like, did Sean get into college or not?
Yeah.
Now, the fun thing is, I am so happy for him that he even got waitlisted and not even rejected. And I feel like Corey's overlooking that because obviously it's weird when you get waitlisted. But Sean is so happy. And Angela and Topanga are
so happy for him.
And Corey is just like existential dread for no reason besides like his plan is not coming to fruition like perfectly. But he is so happy. And again, he's not fully denied. So I'm like, Corey, you need to hold on. Right. And also, even if he doesn't get in, Pembroke is so close to all of them.
Yeah, it's still in Philadelphia.
We know this because Jack and Eric also come home all the time.
Right. And Sean lives with them and still goes to school in his school district. So it's not far away.
And also, if all three of the rest of them go there, it's not like Sean's just going to be fully removed because his girlfriend's going to school and his best friend's going to school. And his brother's going to school. Yeah, like everybody's going to be there. So it's not like he's just high and dry. So yeah. I get where Corey's coming from. But at the same time, like, dude, you need to cool it because as Topanga said, it's like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And that's fine. But him just trying to convince people in the hallway the next day is bad.
Yeah, the timeline on this is very weird. I was in this episode.
The acceptance letters and all of the feedback is insane.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because we saw when Eric got waitlisted, the like time between when he like hurt, like he already knew he was waitlisted and then there was a certain period of time and then he didn't get in to that school. And also, you don't find out that you've not been waitlisted in like a week or two.
Yeah, the timeline of this one is very rushed for sitcom's sake, but
because we find out that there's 2 weeks until graduation.
Yeah. So as soon as there's more letters coming, spoiler, but like as every time that there was a new thing, I was like, really? It's been like 24 hours.
Yeah. The timing is weird on this one, but this episode, I think too, there's a lot of controversy around Corey for this one.
I get it.
Yeah. In the space, there's a lot to be said, which makes sense. And we'll hear more. But it is interesting to like portray this kind of fear because it is so real.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to dive into it with his reactions or overreactions, however the case may be.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a question for you. How many schools did you apply to?
I applied to 4. I got into 3 of them. And then I got waitlisted on the 4th one. And it's not the one that I wanted to go to, but it was weirdly the one that I thought was going to be the easiest to get into.
Interesting.
So that was weird because it was just one of the larger state universities here. And I was like, oh yeah, if I can get into the smaller schools, that'll be no problem.
Right.
And then I did. And then, it was Michigan State was like, no, actually, you're waitlisted. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
So did you get accepted or no after the waitlist?
No.
Oh, wow.
I was like still just kept on the waitlist for a while.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Waitlist is weird. I applied to 14 schools.
Holy moly.
And I only, and three, all three of my reach schools I did not get into.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The one that I really, really, really wanted to get into was USC because of just like a very arbitrary thing from when I was like a kid. And I was like, they were like, this school would be good for this. And then in my brain, I was like, if I go to California, I'm as far away from my family as I could possibly be.
The plan is coming together.
Yeah. And so, and I didn't, my, like all of my shit wasn't high enough to get into USC because it's a tough school. Yeah. And one of my friends got early admissions and got into USC. And I was like, and then she didn't go. She went somewhere else. And I was like,
Ricky, when I get you, Ricky.
Like, it's so upsetting. But yeah, everything else I got into and then ended up where I ended up because they offered me a scholarship, which was exciting. But
yeah,
I applied to, I mean, there was like, I don't know if this is still a thing, but Common App was big. When
I remember that.
And I was like, well, if it's on Common App and it doesn't cost money or it's not expensive, like, why wouldn't I apply?
I'll just go.
It's right there. It's so easy. And most of the schools I think I applied to that were on Common App. I don't even remember all of the ones I applied to. I applied to all the big 3 in Chicago, in like downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. I don't think I applied to University of Chicago because I didn't think I would get in there. And I was probably right. And like a bunch in Indiana, I imagine. And then my three reach schools, which two were in California. One was in Texas because my dad was there. And wow. I think I would have been proper miserable had I ended up in any of those places, realistically.
I'm very happy with like the friends and experiences that I had at college. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have gone to my second choice school.
Interesting.
Because I went to a small Christian school.
You did.
And what was wild is I had debated applying to more smaller Christian schools because I was very into church at the time. And I am the most happy that I did not do that.
Oh my God.
Because even Hope was small.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like everything was required necessarily, right, religion-wise. It was just an option. And I appreciated that because then over time I was like,
maybe this isn't for me.
But yeah, my second choice was Grand Valley. And it's in the middle of being a big school and small school. Like, it's just a healthy middle ground. And they still have like all the sporting events, they still do things. Like, it's just, it feels like college, but just in a smaller way. And I feel like I would have thrived there more than Hope. And also what I was interested in, which was like broadcasting and marketing and things. Like, I really did want to do broadcasting leaving high school. And they had a full second campus, and it's right downtown, like Grand Rapids. And so that's all the media division. And I'm like, I could have been here the whole time just doing stuff like as just part of college, like you could still commute in between. Like, they have a bus that takes you from campus to there. Like, it's really cool. And part of me is like, man, I'm really happy with, again, everything that I got from like the good side of college, but at the same time I'm like, fuck.
I know, I think about that a lot, like what would the what ifs of like specifically college.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to contemplate. And I feel good about, like, I think specifically college is like what led me to like being here for college is what led me to like literally all of you guys. So
I was thinking the exact same thing though, because one of the friends that I made, like, I made all of my like friends at Hope and like did all the things at Hope. And then the last week of school, I was introduced to someone and like we became friends. And then eventually, like after college, we started hanging out, and then he introduced me to the McElroys. So I'm like, there's this whole thread of
it's like invisible string theory.
Yeah, it's wild. And so I'm like, man, but I can't.
Yeah.
I can't not imagine it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's always that looming what if.
It's so, yeah, I love it. It's interesting.
Anyway. Isn't that what this episode's about?
It kind of is. We're circling back. Okay, so the next scene, we are in the dark room, in a dark room. Sean is developing pictures as Corey Burson saying, "I've convinced so many people not to go to Pembroke that you and I are going to be the only guys there." Sean rushes to the door and closes it saying, "You're exposing my photographs." Corey replies, "Hey, it's dark in here." Sean says, "That's why it's called a dark room, college boy. Come on, I've only been here 3 weeks. You want me to get fired already?" Corey says, "No, listen, after you graduate from Pembroke, my friend, your boss is going to be working for you." Sean says, "Come on, I'm just on the waiting list for college, Corey. You know I'm not waiting for anything here. Jonathan's already got me developing my own pictures, you know? Doing good." Corey rebuts, "Sean, this is just a hobby. You can take these kind of courses in college." Sean says, "I might not get in. You want me to be smart? I'm smart to consider other options." Corey asks, "What other options?" Sean, looking down at his work, says, "Cool." Corey's like, "What?" And Sean says, "My picture, it's finished. And it's good. What do you think?" Corey says, "I think you haven't listened to a thing I've said, Sean." Sean is still looking at his photo, and Corey just sighs, seemingly giving up, and leaves the dark room. Sean takes the photo out of the basin and hangs it. We see it's a photo he took of Corey after he got his acceptance letter, and that is the end of the scene. This photo is fine.
It's okay.
It's just a black and white photo of Corey, and it's cute, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's not best work, and not certainly the best work that's hanging up, because I was looking at some of the other photos and they look really cool. For some reason, my notes for this specific scene are gone from my notes. But I mean, I didn't have that many, but I just remember thinking it's really cool that we get another instance of Sean having an interest in doing something else, because I've never seen him into photography until this episode. And I think it's cool that they introduce it. I also think it's really fun to see how into it he is. Mm-hmm. And because, again, when he puts his mind into doing something, he gets really into it.
And for as cool guy as he is, he's into so much artsy stuff.
Yes, he is artsy boy.
He's so artsy. He's like artsy cool guy, I guess.
But I think what I was getting out of this entire thing is Corey is obviously, again, so headstrong with his plan and his perfect plan and getting everybody together. And especially with Sean, I get it. Like, he wants him to go to college because they finally gotten to this point where, again, it's not a full denial. It's like, that's the next step. You're finally getting to this point. But for one, Sean has never been so pro-college before. And, like, not that he wouldn't go, but it's like he's had so many times in the past where he's like, maybe I'm not even good for college. Yeah. And it's okay to not be good for college, mind you. But, like, what bums me out about this scene is that, like, Sean is telling him how interested in this he is. And he's saying, like, Sean, you're not even listening to me. And I was thinking, Corey, you're not even listening to him. No. Like, you're just totally blocking it out because you want this dream for yourself, even, like, trying to be for your friend. But it is, like, it's your dream. It's not Sean's dream.
Yeah.
So, man.
Yeah, it's I get the idea that Corey is, like, wanting to encourage Sean to go to college because he cares about his future. But I don't really think that's why he's doing it. He's doing it because he is, like, afraid of change and, like, doesn't – he has this picture-perfect idea in his head of, like, what he wants his college experience to look like, and it involves Sean. And if Sean's not there, then he's got to, like, make a new plan. So it's very interesting.
There's a line where Sean says something like, I'm learning so much. And he's like, you're going to be throwing away your education, though. It's like, yeah, but he just, he's learning. Yeah, he just told you
he's
that.
Learning something else, something different. And also he's already, like he said, he's making progress at this job and he also cares about it.
Yeah.
So
he says the thing like, you could be learning that in class. And it's
you could be learning it in college.
No. He's learning it right here.
Hands on.
Look at what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had the door open in the dark room and he's like, no, what are you doing? You're going to ruin it. And Corey doesn't know that because he just stood there with the door like fully open and talking to him. And he's like, get out.
Yeah.
Like, get why is it dark in here? There's a purpose. You dingus.
It's weird. I'm of two minds for the arc of this episode only because we have already seen in this season that Sean in some ways does care about school.
Yes.
And he did that whole thing where he was like ditching normal Feeny classes to go to college classes.
Yeah.
And that was something that he cared about. Like, obviously enough that he was like, I'm taking these, like, I'm writing this paper, I'm taking these notes, like, I care about this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think for writing wise, I think for the arc of this episode, it makes sense that Sean doesn't want to go to school. But also there has been proven interest in the past. And I get being on the wait list and being like, I'm smart to consider other options.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking everything into consideration, like, at some point you did want to go to college.
Yeah, part of me, when you were saying that, it made me think, like, the things that he was taking in school were also his interests, though. And so the fact that he's getting, like, such hands-on experience already doing it, like, he's never had a job really. And so
he's never had a job. they did that work study thing and then I think he was like hired as an assistant, but that's the closest he ever came to a job, and then it was over in the next episode. He wasn't doing it anymore.
So I think it is kind of interesting because, like, he was interested in those things, like, in college when he did the college bits, but it's like, now he gets to actually do it, and he's like, oh, I'm already seeing the success of it. Because he never had to do that before, like, besides that work study. But, yeah, I get you.
It's interesting.
I love it.
There's layers to this onion. Okay, so the next scene, we are in the Matthews kitchen. Amy is looking through sample books with Eric, who says, duckies! She says, come on, Alan, if we pick out wallpapers together, it'll be more fun. Alan says, it's not fun, it's torture. I've told you 1,000 times, woman, I'm no good at this. Wallpaper is your business. Eric again says, duckies. And Amy continues, well, I'm not doing it without you. It'll only breed anger and resentment. Just tell me which one you like best. Eric again says, duckies. Now holding up the ducky sample, and Alan relents, okay, this one, pointing to a random sample. Amy says, no, and throws the sample in the garbage. Eric says, was that duckies? No, garbage. Topanga then walks in with Corey and greets the parents and finishes, ooh, wallpaper, fun. Alan says, so, 2 weeks of graduation, how are you two holding up? Topanga says, it's exciting, but it's scary. Corey says, no, it's not scary. What's there to be scared about? Alan says, for me, it was like jumping off a cliff. Eric has a duckies tangent here about how they're non-threatening and you can ride them, ending with duckies are the horses of the ocean. Corey says, okay, somebody explain to me about duckies before I hit him with a spoon. Amy says, it's wallpaper. Topanga says, it's adorable. Alan finishes, it's for your room. Corey's like, my room? Now Eric yells, duckies rule. I'm not going to yell.
Yeah, you're good.
See, I had duckies growing up. I turned out fine. He says this last thing while kind of twitching. Everyone, like, hears this and just kind of ignores it. And then Alan says, it's for the baby. But don't worry, we won't redecorate until you move out. Which is funny. Corey's
it's a funny little line.
It's a funny line. Corey's like, wait a minute. Who said I'm moving out? I mean, I will when I get to college, but can we slow down for a second? I sort of thought you guys would keep my room the way it is. Corey?
I'm not going to lie. I related to that.
I get it. But also, who said I'm moving out? I mean, I will when I go to college. You just said you're moving out. Like, yeah. I get being like, whoa, 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 my room. But, like, you are moving out. You're going to college.
I think, okay, finish the scene, yeah. I want to come back to that.
Eric says, actually, Cor, for that, I think you have to be unexpectedly killed by a truck or something. Topanga says, Corey, everything's going to be okay, which is, like, deeply unhelpful in this moment. Corey says, no, I know everything's going to be okay. It's always been okay, Topanga. I know we're all going to go to college together, and we're going to live here in the same town. We're all going to have the same jobs, and we're all going to take vacations together. We're going to die together and be buried next to each other. Everyone just kind of looks at him, and he finishes, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go to Chubby's to be in my regular booth, my regular place, to have the usual. They watch him go. Topanga follows, and that is the end of the scene.
Yeah, the kid just wants time to slow down and doesn't want things to change. And yeah. Again, I get that, but he's going about it in a weird way.
It's just an insane thing to be like, wait a minute, who said I'm moving out? You, in the next 2 seconds. Literally you right now is our saying it.
Yeah, I think going to the beginning of the scene, I have never wanted Eric to shut up more in a scene. Than this. I didn't like anything about him in this scene.
It was really like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just like unnecessary.
Extremely unnecessary.
It is unnecessary.
I hate his development so much. Like,
yeah.
I get it now. When they were talking about it just in the cons that we participated in, they're talking about how his character arc went and how dumb he gets. I'm like, oh, yeah.
But the worst part is that in this episode, he is also very wise and insightful. So there's no reason to do this and also the other thing. It doesn't make sense.
No, you have just pick one Eric. He can still have funny moments, but don't dumb it down this much.
Yeah.
Where I'm literally like, shut up. I don't like it. I don't know. The thing that I was thinking about when the room, I just specifically with me, I remember when I was moving out, even when I started to get glimpses of my parents moving stuff in my room, I was even like, wait, don't.
Yeah.
And also what I was thinking about when you were saying it, I was trying to jog my memory of what I was going to say, but Eric had the exact same situation and Corey was like so excited about the fact that now it's his room.
It was his room by
because
himself.
Eric was gone and he's like, wow, now it's for me. And it's like, dude, the same thing is happening.
That's
and now you're on the flip side. So it sucks, but like,
and
sorry.
Also, where did he think his parents were going to put the baby?
That's the only available room.
Morgan still exists. So clearly.
And their two kids are at college in a way. So baby goes there.
Right. Yeah, my parents did not change my room when I moved out, but the weekend that I graduated college, they moved out of my childhood home.
Oh.
And so I had to, like, I, like, came home, sorry, not the weekend that I graduated, or, not the weekend I graduated, 2 weeks after I graduated, but I, basically, the week that I graduated went on a cruise.
Oh.
And then I came home and I had to like pack up everything in my house and room before like in basically a day or two. And then we had to move and we had the house or my parents had the house, but they didn't have, it wasn't like fully set up yet. So it was like very dramatic. And I remember just going through so much emotions.
Yeah.
About the house. Like I remember when they were trying to sell it and they came home and I come home and my walls that had been purple were all like normal like cream or whatever beige. Like off-white and I was like what happened.
I had a moment, you made me think of this, but I had a moment where I moved twice before where my parents currently are, and kind of leads me to like a different point later in the episode. But I moved twice, but the second time I knew that my parents, like, we were interested, we were looking at houses and everything, and I was a part of that to find our current home. But I went to Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp in the summer. It's a 2-week long summer camp. And so I left, I had like all my stuff, I came back, house was empty. They're like, we got the house. And I was like, the heck? So while I was gone, they packed up everything. Wow. But we were just like gone the next day. Yeah. And I was really excited because it's like, oh my God, we have a new home. Sure. But at the same time, I was like, I was gone.
Yeah, that's shocking.
I came back. Sure. Nothing's there. Yeah, that, again, walking through that after and you're like, I spent years here. This was my room. This is my house. And I will just never be here again.
Yeah.
Was the weirdest vibe.
It's very strange to be like, this is like so many formative things happened in this space.
Yeah.
Good, bad. And it's just gone now. And it belongs to somebody else. And they're going to live in my house. Like, why? That's my house. That's where I live. Okay. The next seed, we are back at Chubby's. The core four is back in the booth. It's a different day than the last scene, but who knows what day it is in real life. Corey says, okay, everything's getting better. I'm getting happy. You know, we're all together. I'm getting a burger. Everything's good. Angela says, well, you know what else is good? Turns to Sean. Tell him the good news, honey. Sean says, no more part-time job. My boss says that after I graduate, he wants me to be his full-time assistant. Topanga says, that's great, Sean. And Corey, not happy, says, that's the big news. Angela says, tell him what else. And Sean pulls out a letter. This came in the mail today. Corey gets excited now, taking the letter, and says, yes. Topanga asks if it's from Pembroke. And Corey continues, yes, you did it. You're in. We are all together forever. Angela takes it back and says, well, wait, let's not get carried away. We don't know what's in the letter. Corey says, no, I know what it says because I know what it has to say. Sean opens it and reads, it is our pleasure to inform you that due to our latest enrollment numbers, you have been moved off the waitlist and are officially accepted into Pembroke University. The group cheers, and Corey says, latest enrollment figures. That was me. I fixed them. That was me. Angela says to Sean, oh, God, I'm so proud of you. And Corey's like, thanks. Topanga says, she meant Sean. And Corey's like, what'd he do? Which is insane. Sean is still looking at his letter and says, I did it. I actually got into college. This is a big day. Corey says, this is the biggest day, Sean. See, Topanga, I told you everything is going to work out. He stands and calls out to all of Chubby's. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention for a second? My best friend, Sean Hunter. Sean says to the table, I think I'm going to take the job. Corey finishes, is throwing away his entire life. And that is the end of the scene. The extras are working in this moment. They are working. They are getting their paycheck. And it's so funny.
Oh my goodness. Corey Matthews. Just boo that man.
Boo. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, for real though, because Sean, again, extremely happy to be getting this full-time assistant. You can tell he's really excited. You can tell Angela and Topanga are both really happy for him.
Because they're normal human beings.
Yes, reacting to good news.
Yeah.
And Corey is very visibly not, which, if that were my best friend, I'd be like, fuck you. Because what
fake
is wrong with you?
Some enthusiasm. My God.
Just a little bit. For him to then be like, that was your good news. Ridiculous.
It's so mean. It's so mean. For again, no reason.
For Corey, who has also not worked.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. he's so happy about this. But for then to him get accepted, and then Corey immediately is like, oh, my plan is perfect again. Yes. It's coming, falling into place exactly how I want it to.
Yeah.
And like starts to credit himself for everything. Terrible.
Crazy.
Your friend's success is not because of you.
And also, this dingus. Is a big deal for Sean, a person who's like, parents did not go to college.
Yes.
Like, has had to struggle to like even get to this point due to his own stuff and like, you know, his like home life and all of this stuff.
Into college and he has a full-time job opportunity for him.
This is incredible for him.
And no one would have thought.
Corey cannot muster a shred of happiness actually for his friend and is only really happy for himself.
Yeah, and making it a big deal so that when he does finally, you know, makes that decision that he wants to take the full-time job, for him to then say he's throwing away his life, I hate him.
Yeah.
I hate him in this moment. And he's get the resentment for Corey throughout this entire episode.
And frankly, it just gets worse.
Oh, yes. It keeps going and it's bad. It's all bad.
Yeah. So let's continue on to the bad. We pick back up almost immediately with Sean going, "I'm just saying I need time to think." Corey says, "No thinking. Barry is on his way to Tahiti because of you. You are going to college." Sean is amused and says, "You're not my father, Corey." Corey yells back, "If I was your father, Sean, I'd spank you because that's what you deserve. A big spanking. Now take down your pants." Corey is up from the booth now. And Angela says, "Topanga has some news, right, Topanga?" Topanga says, "This is probably a bad time." Angela continues, "Topanga got a letter from Yale." Corey ignores all of this and continues yelling at Sean, "If you don't go to Pembroke, we are finished." Topanga says, "Don't worry, honey. I don't even know if Yale accepted me yet." Corey's like, "I was talking to Sean. What are you talking about?" Angela says to Topanga, "Go ahead, open it." Topanga is holding her letter now, turning it in her hands, and says, "I applied to Yale when Corey and I broke up." Corey continues at Sean, "You have a chance to have a real future here." Topanga continues, "Not because I really wanted to go. I just wanted to see if I could get in." Corey, "To get the kind of education where you not have to talk about exhaust manifolds for the rest of your life." Topanga, "Because, you know, with my GPA being so high, my boards being so, well, high." Corey says, "You deserve more, Sean, okay? Give yourself a chance." Topanga is not quite opening the letter, and Angela takes it from her as a server comes to drop their food off. Corey says, "Not hungry," and the server goes, "Not my problem, still have to pay." Corey goes, "Sean." Sean says, "I need some time to think, Corey." Angela says to Topanga, "You made the waitlist, kid. Nice going." The server says, "I think I'll give the check to you," and drops it on top of Corey's basket of food. Topanga looks at her letter disappointed and says, "Gee, I really thought I'd get in." "Corey, I feel awful." Corey's oblivious. "You feel awful? About what?" She says, "About not getting into Yale." Corey's confused as he goes to sit back down next to her. "Yale? Sean can never get into Yale. You could hardly get into Yale." He looks back and Shangela, who are giving him just like a shocked look as the audience goes, "Ooh." And he says, "What?" And that's the end of the scene.
So I don't know the context of why I saw this before I saw this episode, but recently, just not even, I didn't know what it was about. But someone on like Twitter had a reaction video to someone else. And it was just when you hear him go or hear the audience go, "Ooh," and then he goes, "What?" And I had no idea what that was. But I was like, "Oh, eventually I'll see that." And then it was literally this next episode. And I was like, "What?"
Wait, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how the timing of that worked. But I was also one of those people that was just... I can't stand him in this episode so far.
It's so deeply insensitive to like, and in some ways, like he doesn't know that because he's not paying attention, which sucks. Right. Like he should be paying attention.
He's never listening to anybody in this episode.
No, he's just yelling basically the whole time. And it makes it very hard to be even a little bit sympathetic to like the cause, the like sort of pain, I guess, quote unquote, that he's experiencing because he's so insensitive to everybody else's feelings that it's like, why should we care about what you feel? Because you don't care about anybody else in these moments.
Yeah. And he's very much doing the what about me this entire time. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, especially like Sean, again, has to have this decision. The fact that he does have this decision is awesome. How we were just saying in the last episode.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's like, "You're not my dad. Like, I don't know what you want out of this. Like, I'm just going to be,
I'm going to have to think about myself. That." Yeah.
Yeah, and I really commend him for that because he's gone to, not like he's gone to Corey with a lot, but like he and Corey also talk through things a lot. And so the fact that he's also like, "I'm going to do this, I have to figure that out," is very good. But he's not listening to Topanga at all, of all people, that he loves and cares about her so much. But it's like, no, you're not even in my like peripheral right now. Every time that she's even talking to him, he's like, "What are you talking about? Like, I'm with Sean," which is bad. But you can tell that Topanga is like so excited about this prospect and like nervous about it, but is also just very excited, not wanting to like open the letter. And I feel for her so much because she also got this waitlisted, and you can tell it's affecting her way more that she didn't get in.
Yeah. Because of how Topanga views herself, which is a thing that we have seen like over the course of the show. Like, she very much values being smart. She values like being good at school. And the instant that she decided to do this thing, she was like, maybe there's a chance for me. And she built up that hope, especially when her and Corey broke up. She was probably like, well, now that we're broken up, there's like a chance for me to maybe do this crazy thing that I never would have thought of doing if we were together. Yep. And she's both like trying to validate the reason she applied and also validate the idea that she like could get in.
Yes.
Because she's like, she doesn't, she like almost believes it, but doesn't quite believe it. And so then for her to not get in, I think Angela is being very sweet and being like, you made the wait list. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And she just, like, can't. She's like, I wanted to get in. Like, I should have gotten in her mind. Maybe not even should have, but just, like, you know, she wanted it.
Yeah. When that's, like, your dream and you don't get it, that's a very
Or don't even get it distance. Right away.
Yeah. It's, like, it's just within your grasp, but you can't actually have it.
Yeah.
Is also one of the weirdest feelings. And that's what she's feeling. And then for her boyfriend, of all people, who she wants to spend the rest of her life with, because they have made that pledge to each other so many times now.
Right.
For him to just sit down and be like, you couldn't even get in, is such a big insult. Like,
it sucks so bad. And he doesn't quite know, but it's still, like, the worst possible thing he could have said. Because all he's thinking about is Sean.
Yes.
And mostly him, but, like...
But he's also, like, digging at her at the exact same time.
Sort of, like, jokingly, in a way that, like, doesn't even make sense to do.
No.
It's, yeah. Because
he's dumb.
It's and brutal. And
I boo that man. It gets worse.
It does continue to get worse, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll find out how much worse it gets right after this.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid. Welcome to The Midroll, the spot where we do announcements, featured ads, and anything else that we want to talk about. First things first, if you like our show and any of the others on the Scavengers Network, please consider backing us at patreon.com/thescavengersnetwork. For just $2 a month, you can get access to hours and hours of bonus content, and every donation helps support us and the network. The Lost Years has merch. I know we've said this a couple of times, but just wanted to remind you that you can get Nostalgia Buds stickers, hats, and t-shirts, our sweet little idiot dad hat, a nostalgia notebook. Everything I just listed is found on the Scavengers Network website. You can go to www.scavengersnetwork.com/shop and then click on The Lost Years to find all of those merch options that I said. Forgive me. I am tired. If you do happen to have any of The Lost Years merch, please share with us, tag us, show it off. We would love to see it. All right, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Today is one of the only days that it's been completely sunny outside in the last week. So I am going to hop off of this mid-roll and go take a walk. Because we all need some sunshine, you know? So, do you have water nearby? If not, you should get some. And if... Nope. I was going to say, if not, go get a little snack. But you should also get a snack and treat yourself because you deserve it. Okay, I really have to go outside. Thank you for joining us. Let's get back to the episode.
Well, Daniel, it looks like Frankenstein's Jukebox is going to be joining the Scavengers Network.
I heard. It's very exciting. But it does mean we need to write an ad.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I have an idea. You know how on Frankenstein's Jukebox, we take two songs from a given year and pull out the things we like about them and use those aspects to make a new song?
Of course. We call that new song a song-promise.
Well, what if we used a similar strategy with our ad?
Hey, I think that's a great idea. What are some aspects of your favorite podcast ads?
Well, I like ads where the two hosts are talking to each other, pretending like they're not doing the ad.
That's a good one. I like when the information about the show is presented in a way that demonstrates the concept of the show.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so let's use those aspects to make an ad. Actually, wait, there's one more thing I love in a podcast ad.
That's so funny, because I have one more thing, too. You go ahead.
No, please, I insist.
Same time?
Same time. One, two, three.
A bicycle horn at the very end of the ad to show that even though we love music and take the assignment seriously, we're also just a couple of sillies.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, I guess we have to have that aspect.
Frankenstein's Jukebox. The second Wednesday of every month, with song promises being released when we finish them. On the Scavengers Network.
And we're back at Sean's photography job. Corey has brought in reinforcements by way of Jack. He says, what is the most important thing in a young man's life? Jack says, education. Corey asks, and what is Sean about to do? Jack says, stop his education. Corey says, and it's your job as Sean's older brother to what? Jack asks, fix this? And Corey says, why? Jack says, because he knows all of your tricks and he's sick and tired of listening to you. Corey says, go get him. And Sean's boss comes out and says, okay, what do we got? Sean goes, you've got the Nikon loaded with Tri-X and the Hasselblad's ready for the close-ups. This is nonsense words to me. I'm sure it means something. Close-ups I get. His boss says, perfect, Sean, you're learning fast. Keep this up. I'm going to be working for you. Jack walks up, tapping Sean, and says, I'll get to you in a second. Then to the boss, the most important thing in a young man's life, education. Now, with Sean's older brother, I'm not going to stand by and watch him throw his life away. I appreciate what you've done for him, but he's young and impressionable, and I'm not. To this tirade, the boss just asks, have you ever modeled? Jack says, no. Why do you ask? Flip transition to Jack in front of a backdrop in an all-black outfit, sort of awkwardly posing while the boss takes shots of him, saying, yes, yes, good. He takes another shot, then walks up to Jack and says, now, wistful. Jack does something insane to denote wistful, and the boss excitedly says, you have done this before. Perfect. Taking another shot of him, he turns to Corey, who's watching with disdain, and says, thanks for bringing me this guy. He's gold. Turns back and asks Jack, do you do angst? Jack does something that to me looks like he has a stomach ache, but the photog loves it. He says, excellent. Sean, go see if Terry's ready. Sean says, right away. Corey follows him and says, Sean, let me ask you something. As your friend, as your best friend, just tell me why you would consider giving up everything for this. A pretty woman in a bikini walks out and says, how do I look, Sean? And he says, come here, Terry. Then gently tosses her hair, effectively doing nothing. And then says, perfect. She says, you're the best. Kisses him on the cheek and then goes to the shoot area. Corey says, I'm waiting for an answer. Sean says, Corey, I like working here and I'm good at it. They treat me with respect. I make a good paycheck and I'm learning a lot. Every single day, I can't wait for school to be over so I can come here and learn more. I've never felt that way about high school, so I'm sure not going to feel that way about college. I found something here, Corey. And Corey says, well, you sound like you've already made your decision. Sean relents, yeah, I have. But thanks for the advice. Corey says, you know I'm not going to give up on this. Sean laughs, of course you're not, and heads into the back. Cut over to Jack, who is draped in swimsuit models, who says, what am I going to college for? Get a good education, to get a good job, to make good money, so I can get one girl to hang all over me that looks like this? And here I have two. I'm staying. Corey tries to grab Jack out of the arms of the girls, but they like sort of come with him. And then Corey pushes the girls off of him and drags and then eventually picks up Jack, like fireman style, and carries him out of the studio, trying to slam the door behind him. It's a very funny visual gag, and that's how we end the scene.
Yeah. I mean, again, this entire thing is him just trying to convince him to go to college and not do this. But everything that I had written down was just like, Sean is not necessarily throwing away his education. He is learning on the job. You can tell that he's learning a lot because he is using verbiage that I don't even know. But like, he's just really into it. And he is, like how he said, he's like, I'm making a good paycheck. I'm learning a lot. Like, that's exactly what, you know, you could argue you'd be going to college to do the exact same thing. And yeah. So for him to already be doing it, I feel like is cool. And again, he wants to. And you can just tell this entire time that Corey is just upset. And that's kind of the only notes that I have.
Yeah. I think Sean's whole explanation on why he wants to stay is like a very logical way of thinking about it. He's found something that he's excited about. He's being offered a job, and not everybody goes to college.
Right. I mean, and Corey wouldn't necessarily know that, right. But it's like it's being presented to him in this way, and it's just because it's not what Corey wants.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that he has even thought about it more, like, since the time that we've seen him.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, in the studio and, you know, Corey gets to see him, like, actually working and what he'd be doing. And he's still like, no.
Yeah. This is still bad. That. You're throwing away everything. Like,
just not being a supportive friend. And it's really a bummer because they've been through so much together. And because he's not choosing college as the route in this instance, it's like, okay, yeah, his whole life was for nothing.
Right. And also, you're allowed to think that your friend is making a bad decision without treating them horribly.
Yeah.
Like, those two things are not mutually exclusive. You don't have to be so rude to your friend because they're not doing something that you agree with. Unless they're doing something like horrible to other people, that's not your responsibility. It's not your duty to be rude to your friend because you don't agree with something they're doing. So it's just like, it's like insane behavior.
And it gets worse.
And it just gets worse. We're in Feeny's backyard. Corey walks up and bangs on his back door. Feeny answers and says, I have a doorbell. Corey presses it and Feeny goes, yes. Corey starts, you're my last hope. I need you to talk to Sean. Feeny says, as a matter of fact, I was just on the phone with him. Corey says, thank you. Oh, thank you. And hugs Feeny. Feeny, not returning the hug, says, I told Sean I support his decision. Still hugging, Corey says, you what? Feeny adds, I gave him my blessing. Corey pulls back and says, what are you, the Pope? Mr. Feeny, Sean and I are supposed to go to college together. We're supposed to be roommates. Feeny says, well, I'm sorry, but things change, and not just for students. He walks over to his, like, patio set and sits down. Corey starts, why can't you just say what you mean? Why does everything that you say have to have some hidden explanation? Feeny says, Corey, I'm retiring. Corey says, what do you mean by that? Feeney continues, well, the school board has offered early retirement, and I've decided to take it. Corey says, but Mr. Feeney, you love teaching. Without teaching, you're not Mr. Feeney. You're just Crazy George, the guy next door. Feeney smiles, there comes a time when making a change feels right. I'm thinking about moving to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I'll spend my time reading, fishing. Who knows, I might even become Crazy George of Jackson Hole. Corey says, I can't believe you're doing this. I mean, what did you guys all do? Did you all get together and decide to ruin my life? He starts to walk back to his yard as Feeney calls, Corey, everything will be all right. Corey makes a face that belies he doesn't believe that as Feeney heads back into his house and Topanga walks up and says, hi. He says, I don't like the sound of that, and sits down on his deck. She sits next to him holding a letter and says, this came from Yale. He grabs the letter from her, unopened, and holds it to his head. Dear Corey, the Ivy League is pleased to announce the further disintegration of your world. He holds it back out to her and finishes, congratulations, Topanga. I mean that. He doesn't mean it.
No, he doesn't.
He says it in the most deadpan, rude way possible. She asks, how did you know I was accepted? She says, because I know the way my life works. She sort of pats his leg, attempting comfort, and that is the end of the scene.
He's ridiculous. First of all, the starter interaction at the beginning of this scene where he knocks and then he's like, I have a doorbell, and he just rings that instead. Very funny.
Very funny.
I love that. What I love is that as soon as Corey's gone from the photography studio, supposedly.
Yeah, he's still wearing the same shirt. So in theory, a lot of what happens next is all happening in the same 3 hours, four hour, who we don't know what time it is, but it's all happening in the same evening.
What I love about it is that Sean is making this decision and he's like, okay, education, job. Mm-hmm. And one of the first people that he like really wants to talk about it with is Mr. Feeney.
Mr. Feeney.
The fact that he calls him is so cute.
It's the
and
best.
The fact that Feeney, after all of this, and also has seen everything that Sean has been through, really obviously values education because that's been his whole life. That's what he's been doing with these kids. Mm-hmm. The fact that he supports it and he is also giving him his blessing in that way, I think is the cutest thing in the world.
It's the best.
I love it because it's just like Corey wanted him to like smack some sense into him that education was the route and college was the route for him and all of these things. And even Feeney is like, no, I get it. Like,
yeah,
he's perfectly entitled to do what he wants and make that decision. Like, it's a good decision for him. We've talked about it. Like, that would be fine. That would be great. And I really love that because, you know, he is the one that's kind of been helping, like, as I was saying, like, usher them into college and like furthering education and doing all these things. But it's like, yeah, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But just to then drop the bomb and say, I'm retiring, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
It makes sense. The man's old.
Yeah.
And I would also want to retire. And especially being a teacher, it's a lot. I don't know if it stays, but like, extremely cool for him to also make that decision and be like, look, I want to like stop and just have a relaxing time.
Yeah.
And especially given everything that Feeney's been through in his life, he's like, I don't know, I'm gonna take it if that does happen. But yeah, it was very sweet. And I mean, for Corey to then also have the reaction about like, you all met together.
Yeah, to ruin
all,
my
like,
life.
Ruin my life. When they're all choices and things where it's like they are all bettering their lives.
Right.
It's so annoying. It's so main character of Corey's. Like, to just do that. And then, yeah, it's like changes happen all the time in life. And sometimes they're like not gonna go your way.
Right.
And that's fine. But we know that Topanga gets into Yale because why else would they send this acceptance letter?
Right.
This other letter, like in the span of a couple of days, she was waitlisted, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But to just, again, the person that like you love so much more than anything in this world, to have this BS reaction in the way that you do. I was so mad at him because, again, she's so excited for it. It's what she's wanted. You got to, I mean, he didn't hear it in the Chubbies scene, but like everybody else did. You know that it's something that she wants. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not all about you. And you can tell that, like, that was her dream school. And he, like, totally ruined that moment of happiness. And it bums me out.
Yeah, it sucks. It just sucks. I like you said, I love the fact that Sean went to Mr. Feeney because we know that Sean despite all the like trouble and stuff that he does, mm-hmm. we know that Sean holds a lot of respect for Mr. Feeney. Mm-hmm. And he's like one of the few adults in his life that he holds that level of respect for.
Yeah.
And so I love that he went to him because he knew that he would get an honest answer
mm-hmm.
and like it would help him make the decision that he wanted to make. And I love that Feeney was like, I support you. Like, don't go to school if that's what you feel like you want to do.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to go to college.
Yeah.
Like the 90s and the early 2000s, and I guess still kind of now, peddle college being the end all be all. But like, you go to college, you accumulate all this debt, you get out of college, you still can't find a job. And college was supposed to be the like way that you get the high paying job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not, I mean, I don't know how it was in the 90s, but like, there are a lot of people who get out of school and don't need college.
Yeah.
And it's okay to like, you go to trade school or you go to community college or like there's a million other things you can do besides going straight to college. It doesn't have to be the end all be all. And I just like that we are exploring that as a viable option, despite how it may or may not end up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked a lot about their college years. You guys know Sean goes to college.
Yeah.
But what's fun is that I don't remember why he goes to college.
That's cool.
So it'll be fun. It'll be a nice surprise. I remember specifically what happens with Feeney, but I do not remember how Sean ends up in college. So I'm excited to find that out with all of you, dear listeners.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the next scene. We are still in the Matthews
but
backyard.
Yale? Wait, we didn't talk about Yale.
Oh, yeah, no. Topanga got a TL. That's great. I'm curious if she knew that she had gotten in, because to me the letter looked unopened.
Mm-hmm.
But she says, how did you know that I was accepted? Like, she also knew that she was accepted.
I feel like she didn't actually. So my headcanon is that mm-hmm. she didn't open it and she wanted to do this thing because she knew how much it would also affect her and Corey.
Right.
And that's what bumps me out so much about the way that he handled it.
Yeah.
Because not that she like knew that she was accepted, but for then her to be like, how'd you know? And it's like, well, obviously if they sent you another freaking letter, they wouldn't do that and be like, actually you're denied, or like, actually you're still on the wait list. Like,
right. That's no. true.
But I feel like because they have talked about the rest of their lives together, like she would want to do that with him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cause it impacts both of them.
Yeah.
In that context, for sure.
Like, why would she didn't open the first one until they were all together too. Like,
very good point. Very good point.
So he just sucks. Corey sucks so bad in this entire
he's not
episode.
Likeable, like
even at the ending, I'm still like, no, I'm still mad at you.
The ending, because we'll get to it. Okay,
yeah.
So the next scene, we are still in the Matthews backyard. Corey is still sitting on the deck, pouting, but some time has passed. Unclear how much time. Morgan comes out and says, "Mom and Dad sent me out to see if you were okay." He glances up at her, and she finishes, "Are you?" He says, "Well, I've been better," and scoots over so she can join him. "How about you?" She sits, "I've been better too. I got a 67 on my history test." He says, "Listen, Morgan, you're not going to do anything silly like not go to college and get a job, are you?" She says, "No." And he says, "You're not going to have a baby or go to Yale or retire to Wyoming?" She says, "I'm still a little girl, Corey." He wraps her in a hug and whispers, "God bless you," and kisses her on the head. And we can call that a scene. You want me to keep going? It's kind of nothing.
It's no, I was going to say it's fun to see Morgan again because she just appears in certain episodes now and not like consistent character.
Yeah, yeah.
At least in this point in time.
It's very funny for a little girl to call herself a little girl. That was my only thing. I'm still a little girl. Do little girls say that?
I would never say that.
Right. I just
I always wanted to be a big girl.
Yeah, you want to grow up. Yeah. Okay, so we get a quick transition to them at Chubby's. He says, "You know, this has been my booth since before you were born, Morgan. In fact, I was sitting in this very booth when they told me I had a baby sister." She says, "So this place means a lot to you, huh?" And he says, "It's the last place in the world that makes any sense." She says, "Corey, you're going crazy." He says, "No, no, no. The world is going crazy, Morgan. Everything is changing so fast. I just want to be in the one place I can count on with the one person I can count on, you, Morgan." It's worth noting that both of these shots are they're very close-up shots on their face.
Which they've never had close-up shots
at Chubby's like that before.
Ever.
No. She says, "I'm having a great time with you too, Corey." The server comes over now dressed in pirate garb and says, "Ahoy, matey." Morgan finishes, "And now it's over." Server has what they want, and Corey says, "Two Chubby burgers, two fries, and two root beers." The server says back, "That's two Buccaneer burgers, two treasure taters, and two root beers." Corey says, "Why are you talking like that?" and Maria, what are you wearing? Morgan says to her, please don't tell him. Maria says, oh my gosh, you don't know. Morgan again says, please don't tell him. And Corey asks, don't know what? Maria says, everything's changed. And we get a hard pullback shot that reveals Chubby's is now Peg Leg Pete's, a pirate-themed restaurant. All of these things, very obvious as soon as you walk in. So yes, it doesn't really make sense that Corey walked through this restaurant, did not see anything was different.
Except this next bit.
Well, sure. So we zoom in on Corey's shocked reaction to this, and then we get a fade transition to Corey whining, Chubby, Morgan is gone, but Maria is there and says, you've been sitting here for over 3 hours. Corey yells, Chubby. And Maria says, he moved to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Corey's like, hey, wait a minute. Maria pulls him out of the booth saying, could you at least scoot over to this barrel over here while the workers piratize your booth? Corey's like, oh yeah, right. This is so funny. Like it would take just a few seconds to change a booth where my girlfriend and I reunited 8 different times. To change a booth where my best friend Sean and I dressed up like women to prove a point or something, I forget. So I doubt very much, Missy, that you can change that much history in just a few seconds. During this rant, burly men come and pull the chubby seats and table out. And when we zoom back out at the end, the booth has been piratized. Another worker comes and puts a pirate hat on Corey and pats it. And Corey says, wrong again. Morgan has come back with Eric, who says, so where is the little guy? Corey says, Morgan, I asked you to get help and you bring him? She says, I was worried about you. You were acting like a psycho. Eric is looking around and says, it's about time this place got some class. Grabs a menu. Anyone want to split a couple of Buccaneer burgers? Oh, I get it. It's pirates. Corey says, Eric, I've worked so hard and so long to keep everything together. You know, what am I supposed to do? Just sit here, smile, eat a Buccaneer burger and pretend everything's okay? Eric says, scared of change, huh? You know, I went through the same thing when I graduated high school, but that's why I took a year off before I went to college. Morgan jumps in. You didn't have the grades to get into college. He says, I'm talking here. Morgan leaves and he tells Corey to sit. Good things are happening to your friends, Corey, and you need to be happy for them. Or else, what kind of friend are you? Maria comes back with food and says, okay, matey, you're the first to walk the plank. Let me know how it is. There's no way that's true. This restaurant is full of people.
But he's the first one to order a burger.
He's not the first person to eat a burger in this restaurant full of people. Corey picks up the burger. You know, if I take a bite of this, it's like Chubby's is just a memory. It's like everything's changing and we don't know what's going to happen. Eric whispers, just taste it. Corey takes a bite and says, oh no, it's good. Maria smiles and walks off as the rest of the crew walks into Chubby's. Jack asks what happened and Corey says, well, guys, it's not Chubby's anymore. It's Peg Leg Pete's. They all gather around and Sean sits next to Corey and says, we got to do something about the... Corey shoves the burger at him mid-sentence. He takes a bite and says, never mind. Here, Jack, and offers it to him. Jack says, oh no, I have a modeling career now. Beef goes right to the hips. This is not a thing that goes away, for the record.
Awesome.
Not that. Like specifically modeling, but Jack's appearance is a thing. Corey says, all right, guys, sit down. We need to talk. Topanga then sits next to him and says, Corey, about the letter from Yale. I was just really excited about getting accepted, but I want to be with you, Corey. He says, Topanga, I want to be with you too, but this is Yale we're talking about. You can't just give that up. And I accept that. Eric nods. Good for you, Corey. Topanga says, but Corey, Yale's in... He cuts her off. I don't care if Yale is on the other side of the moon, Topanga. Nothing is going to keep us apart. And Sean, I still think you're making the biggest mistake of your life, but I accept it. Sean says, thanks, Corey. I'll try to make you proud. Eric says, there's going to be a lot of changes in your life, Corey. It's not the changes that matter. It's how you react to the changes. I mean, that's what makes you who you are. Corey adds, then I even accept that Feeny's retiring. Eric shrieks, what? It's like a very dramatic, he like peaks the audio. It's actually insane. Yeah. He almost falls out of his chair. Corey says, he's moving to Jackson Hole. Eric asks, here in Philadelphia? And Jack says, no, in Hawaii, you incredible, unbelievable moron. Eric says, Feeny can't do that. How can Feeny do that? I mean, I need him. He's my mentor. I go to him for everything. Corey says, and eats a fry. Eric yells, why are you not more upset about this? And Corey says, hey, things change. And that is the end of the episode proper.
You can tell he's just not into any of it. He's just fully dissociating. Facts. Yeah.
He's completely shut down. It's insane. Doesn't apologize for any of his behavior. This is the thing that pisses me off, right? You can be like, okay, yeah, I accept that things are going to change. And also be nice to people about it. Like, you're just like, things change and everything sucks. Like,
so what I was going to say... I was thinking about his life more at the end of this episode because he is going through like full existential crisis with everything happening and like learning about all these changes. And again, how you were saying he's dissociating, like there's just all of these things that happen. And minus like the Topanga breakup, which was a very big point in his life, He's not really had to deal with a lot of changes. And so that's what, it's crazy that it's all happening at one time, but like his family has never, you know, gotten divorced. They've never had any of the other situations that like his friends' parents have had. He has never moved. Like he's never had to endure things that other people would, it would be like a huge change. And I thought about this because like I moved when I was six and then I moved like a different time. And that's like a lot to go through. By the time that I got to this college level, it was like, wow, everything's changing and it's going to be crazy. But like, I'm very excited about it because it's a brand new endeavor. And for him, it's just like, it's all kind of folding in, which I get, again, like where he's coming from and why this would be a lot to take in. But it is just nuts how you were saying, like, he doesn't apologize for anything and like how he treated them. And so that's what makes it worse. And Chubby's changing to a pirate restaurant was also just a choice. It's just, it's very funny because they're like, we have to change this somehow. We have to have, this is like his stable spot.
He talked about Chubby's several times in this episode.
So many times.
How it's not changing and how it's his regular place and how is his regular stuff. Yeah.
And for them to also bring back some continuity things of saying like, this is where Topanga and I have broken up multiple times. This is where Sean and I did. I was like, that's very fun because it's, he could so just funny. Say, you know, the things like, oh, I've been coming here for years. I've been doing this. It's like, no, there are very specific instances why you like this place or like remember this place a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't, it's a cool writer moment. So thanks for that.
And the way he's like giving, like as much as he sucks in this moment, the way he's giving this speech is really comical. Like it's very funny the way that he's speaking. So, you know, there's that, even though he's being an asshole, he's yelling at a worker. Like, come on, man, she's doing her job. And clearly a worker he has rapport with because he knows her by name.
Well, it is very fun. This entire episode, I think that the waitress is so funny just with everything that she said. But yeah, this especially, she's like, yeah, it's different. At first, I actually thought, was Corey having a dream when it was just like him and Morgan like at Chubby's and then, like everything was still changing? But then it just kept going. I'm like, no, they actually changed the set. That's wild.
Yeah.
And it's fun because like the set designers literally come in like they're stripping the set. It's just very fun. You can tell that they actually work there.
Yeah. Because you can't see any of their faces. And I think if you had seen their faces, they would have had to get paid as like actors or extras.
Yeah. And they like actually have just work belts and stuff. Like they're just like normal people. It's a very fun little detail. But what I do like is that, you know, Morgan leaving and then coming back and he's like, why'd you bring Eric? And Eric has probably the best experience with this because like he literally took a year off to figure out his life. So it's like, again, he didn't just go right to college like how you're having this perfect plan with all of your friends.
Yeah.
And like things can change. You don't know how your life is going to end up. And so for Eric to be that little voice of reason, as much as the rest of the episode, I've been like, oh my God, I don't want him here. It's just like needing to be happy for them or else what kind of friend are you? I was like, that's insightful stuff.
It's the perfect point. And it's 100% correct.
Ugh. And it's just, it's fun when he gets these moments. I miss like when he started speaking that way, I was like,
that's his voice.
That I miss.
Yeah. Because so he does funny. A different voice when he's stupid.
Yes.
Like he does, he has different mannerisms. He has a different tone of speaking. And then when he's being insightful Eric, he has this much lower tone. It's like very serious, because even in the a little bit before when he's like, oh, I get it, it's pirates, he's like kind of quirky, weird, like higher tip, like pitched voice.
Yeah.
Wilfred L's just a very good actor. Like he's really chomping to bit the pieces that he's actually getting to like be like, he's acting the whole time, right? But like he's so good at both ends of this spectrum. Despite the fact that in the ducky scene, he was being really annoying. Like, he was working with what they gave him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could go on about Eric now that I've, like, seen this little change. But
this is actually probably the best, like, example of the way, like, the spectrums of Eric. And it's, man, college Eric is so crazy.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I really just, like, we never know. No one ever knows what's going to happen in life. And that's just how that goes. And again, Corey's never really had to deal with all of that at one time, but it's like now he has every single thing going wrong, quote unquote, in his life. But it's like everything going well for everybody else. And yeah, the Yale thing, very relatable. That was just a very funny bit when it was like, the distance doesn't matter. Like, fun. But for him to then just casually mention the Feeney retiring, I'm like, I don't know how many people he's told about that.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
wild
very good point.
To just drop that. And I really, the mic peeking for Eric is very funny, but like, I appreciate that Eric is the one that's like,
the most
what
upset.
Are you talking yeah. about? Because like, that is his guy. They are best
we've
friends.
We've seen it. I love how much we have seen that relationship specifically in the show. And so it does, and I can't wait to get into this like closing scene, but like yeah. it, we see how much, it's very obvious how much that would affect Eric specifically.
Yeah.
And like,
out of
obviously,
all of them.
Yes. Obviously the trio also has like a very strong relationship with Mr. Feeney, but like specifically the trio and Eric, like obviously Eric's going to be insanely upset about that. And I just, yep. I really love that moment because it makes complete sense.
Which is also, again, bonkers for Corey to just drop that and yeah. act like it's nothing in yeah. the middle of everything, because it's like, yeah,
like,
Eric clearly didn't know, like, right. So Corey's just like the worst of all people. Just like,
and he doesn't learn anything in this episode.
Yeah, which
how
is also
I
the worst.
So much every week and still be so stupid.
It's really weird to just end it on that note with Corey, because mm-hmm. you can tell he just doesn't care.
Right. He's not actually being like, I accept that. He's just like dissociated out of his body. To be
he's
like,
just
well,
existing there.
Right, yeah. It's like apathetic more than anything else.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
And you can tell that the other characters are trying to relate to him. And I think that's yeah. what also sucks is like, I'm going to try hard for you. We're going to try to make this work. We're going to do this. And he's still like, whatever.
Yeah. They're all approaching him with empathy. And he's like, okay. And with like zero of the same empathy back. It sucks so bad.
And if that were my friend or my partner in that situation, I'd be like, why am I even trying?
Why are we here? Yeah. Literally, what are we doing? It sucks. It sucks. Okay. I'm so excited. I normally type the word end credits and I didn't do that and I got confused.
The panic that just happened.
I was
with
like,
you.
That's what happened. End credits. We are in Feeney's backyard. Eric walks up in a floral shirt with a surfboard and yells, Mr. Feeney, dude. Feeney walks out of his back door and says, regretting this immediately. What? Eric says, there's a gnarly curl brought. Let's go get tubed. Feeney mumbles, all right, here I go. So what's with the bitchin' board, bro? Eric says, I'm coming with you to Jackson Hole, serving capital of the world. Come on, grab your stick. Let's jam. He just... The fact that he just took Hawaii specifically and then was like, that's the surfing capital of the world, which I don't even know if that's true. And neither does he.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it probably is, but there's no way he knows. He just heard Hawaii and was like, that's probably where the most people surf ever.
But it's
he didn't
also
do any
not,
research.
But it's also not Hawaii.
No, it's not Hawaii. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't know if it's the surfing capital of the world. And he also doesn't know where Jackson Hole is.
Right.
He just doesn't know anything. It's fine. Okay, so Feeney goes, Eric, do you have any idea where Jackson Hole is? Eric says, sure do. Hawaii. Feeney yells, it's in Wyoming, you macadamia nut. Eric's confused. Do they surf in Wyoming, Mr. Feeney? Feeney says, no, Mr. Matthews, they don't. Eric asks, well, what do they do in this Wyoming? Feeney says, well, they take time to enjoy God's beautiful landscape, and they stop to appreciate their quiet surroundings and contemplate on what life is all about. Eric says, sounds like a nice place. Feeney agrees, yes, it is. Eric asks, Mr. Feeney, if I'm really, really quiet, will you stay? Literally, I love this line so much. It's one of my favorite lines in the show. Feeney looks down but does not answer, and that is the end of the ep in full.
It's so, again, funny. I think this closing credit scene is actually the best encapsulation of Eric being the dumb and then like very smart, like this specific one, because again, doesn't know anything about Hawaii about Jackson Hole, Wyoming, like did not care to look it up. It's just like, I'm going with you, which is one, the cutest thing in the world.
The cutest thing.
Does Feeney say the bitchin' board?
Yes.
That's so funny.
What's with the bitchin' board, bro?
Which is, it's such a throwaway like little thing, but yeah. I thought it was so funny because again, it's like, did he say that?
Yeah.
But yeah, to then have that line at the end, I was not expecting to get like a weird emotional line at the end of it.
And he doesn't answer, which breaks my heart. He just like looks down. He doesn't say anything. And that is the end of the episode.
Because what?
What do you say?
Yeah, what do you say? But also never really getting to see the impact like that you have on certain people, like especially like being in his position. He's obviously, Eric has still stayed around even after graduating, and they've become little besties that they are. Yeah, yeah. And so for him to then be like, say that and be like, you want me here like that, but like
it's so gonna cry. I love it so much. It's just like a perfect encapsulation of how much, I'm literally gonna cry, of how much Eric loves and needs Mr. Feeny. If I'm really, really quiet, will you stay? Like, he's like a little kid. He's like, I'll do anything for you to stay. It's
so cute.
It's so cute. I love it so much. It's like,
okay. Oh no. Okay, Tay.
What are you about to say? I'm so scared.
I've got our photo with the two of them like right in front of me on my desk. And so I just looked at it too. And I'm like, oh my God, they're so old.
They're so old. I think, didn't Phil Daniels like recently turn 98 or something?
Yeah, dude, he's so old.
He's, yeah, because I remember his birthday was at the same time as C2E2 last year. And it's, yeah, because
that's what Will Friedle did the Feeny call for him.
Yes.
For his birthday.
He's 98 years old.
I don't even know why I like looked up at it just in the middle of all of this. Yeah. And I was like, no. I hope we finish the show.
I hope we're done. I don't want to have to deal with it at all. I don't want to have to deal with it at all. I just hope we finish it before.
We got to
we really
crank them out.
I don't want to deal with that emotionally. I don't think I can handle it. I'm not emotionally stable enough.
And you know, it's one of those, like, because the internet has been around and people talk about this show too, and I know that, like, we shouldn't be talking about this, but, like, I know some of the last bits of the show without knowing, like, the full context of it. Mm-hmm. And so if we get to that point and he has passed, I'm gonna flip
out. Fucking lose it, dude. I'm gonna lose it. He's in Girl Meets World too.
Oh, no.
And Girl Meets, we're not gonna be done. There's no way. I hope we're done. But Girl Meets World's 3 seasons. That's at least another year and a half after we finish this. And we still have 2 seasons of this left.
Girl Meets World, I don't really have faith for, but I'm like really hoping.
God, dude. Oh my God. Anyway. What was the lesson, Sid?
All right. Well, I've got a couple here, but I kind of said one of them about the fact that like we never know what's going to happen and change is kind of inevitable. So it's how we deal with it that matters. Mm-hmm. I also think we've said it a couple times in this, not everybody needs to go to college, and it's more than okay to pursue other options, especially if it means getting to do the things that you really want to do,
yeah,
or
that
are
you're
interested
passionate
in.
About
like Sean's really into photography in this and has since made it a passion in this specific episode, but like yeah, I don't know, college is contrary to what the current education system might tell you is like, you don't have to go that route, and that's fine. Yeah. But the other thing, we certainly don't get to dictate the choices of our friends just because it's in our best interest,
right?
And what we want for them and for our lives, because that's also not how friendships work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, Tay kind of said it, you can have opinions on it, you can talk about it, but just because it's like not going exactly your way doesn't mean it's not right for them either.
1000%.
So have that.
Have that. You're welcome. Yeah, man. I agree. And I don't have anything to add.
Sick. Yay. Fun trivia fact. If you couldn't tell, this is the last time that Chubbies appears.
Yeah.
I know that they like literally changed what Chubbies looks like, but RIP to Chubbies, seasons 2 through 5.
We love you. We'll miss you. They find new places to hang out in college.
Yeah,
so.
I figured that.
Yeah.
It's college. You get new spots.
Baby. Oh my God. I'm so excited for college. I'm so excited. One more episode. Well, there's a couple before they go to actual college. Unfortunately, Corey does get more insufferable in later years.
That sucks.
I know. It's pretty brutal.
Which, I mean, kind of goes with his character, which does. Is annoying.
Yeah.
It's just like you want men to grow.
Yeah.
And the fact that he like doesn't.
He, and it's
like
crazy
he does, but he.
But it's part, like, that's part of the show, right? Is he's learning lessons. Again, how could I learn so much every week and still be so stupid?
Yeah.
But, like, man, does he become something?
You know what? You know what's annoying me now? I said the thing where it's fun that he brought up, like, the past, and you talked about, like, learning but not actually. The fact that they had the whole episode where they dressed up in drag, and he's in that, in this
yeah.
episode, was, like,
to prove
for
a point
some
or something.
Reason. Yeah. He throws that away. You didn't yeah. learn.
It was such, and they learned so much in that episode.
Yes, that's
that was
so
like,
annoying.
It's one of my favorite season, I think season 4 episodes. And little assholes.
Corey sucks.
Well, mostly him, just him, yeah.
Yeah, Sean's growing. And I'm proud of him.
Well, hey, welcome to the end of the episode. We're here.
Yes.
We've done it together.
Hello.
Hello.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at The Lost Years Pod, where yeah. we share when episodes drop and sometimes let you know when episodes don't happen, which I did not do this past week.
I did
so
it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sick. Never mind.
Because it was my fault.
Yeah. But yeah, you can follow there and we'll update you accordingly.
We certainly will. You can also email us at lostyearspod@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show. Tell us what you're nostalgic for. Tell us how you're dealing with this fourth winter, because it's been like raining and snowing here for the last 3 days and it's insane.
Yeah, it's bad.
You can also rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. It really helps us out, helps people find the show, and it will keep me warm in the fourth winter.
Okay.
I'm ready for summer, which is weird because I don't really like to be hot, but I'm tired of this wet, cold nonsense.
Yeah, it is bizarre.
It sucks. The earth is dying. Like, I know why it's happening, but it doesn't make it easier. It's still upsetting.
Yeah, I was thinking about how I want to see the sun.
Just in general, I just want to see
end
the
sentence.
Sun, man.
And yeah, it's just been a little dark and gloomy and like 35 to like 45 degrees for the past
right.
however many weeks.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Anyway, thank you to the Scavengers Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows there, like Side Character Quests and Spooky Spouses on www.scavengersnetwork.com.
If you want to find me, I am everywhere on the internet at Taycrow. I officially have started back streaming. I had a stream this week as we're recording this. It went great. So find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/itstaycrow. We're having fun over there.
Yeah, and you can find me on the internet everywhere at Sudsley. So Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitch as well. And come hang.
Come hang. All right, that's it. We recorded for so long.
Yeah, we did.
We had so much to say, I guess. So, hey, thanks so much for listening, and until next time.
You're Tay.
You're Sid.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator-driven, community-focused, treasured content.